The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread. Jesus answered him, It is written, one does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours. Jesus answered him, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward. Meet me up here front. Okay, over there. That's better for me. Good morning, good morning. In order for you to tell us apart, I mean, Pastor Mike and me, my name is Judy, Pastor Judy. He's Pastor Mike, isn't he? And I am your pastor for a while, for a few months, until you get your own called pastor. But I brought with me this morning two pieces of ID. They're called identification pieces. This piece has my name on it and my picture. I think I'll hold it, but I'll let you look at it because I am really challenging myself that I will remember to put these in my purse. See my picture when this service is over. So it has my picture, it has my weight that I have not exactly told the truth about. And it says my name and who I am. It says Judith Follis. And then this is another piece of paper. And what this means, do you know what this means? This, to have a driver's license? What does it mean? I can drive a car. Can you drive a car yet? No. No. But this means I can drive a car. Now I have another card right here. And I'll hold on to it. And it only has my name on it, no picture, no weight. Whew, I'm glad for that. And this is from Bishop Bill, our bishop in the Indiana Kentucky Synod. And this means, you may not know what this means. This means I can pastor in the church, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, particularly here in the Indiana Kentucky Synod. So do you have any cards like this that say who you are? How do you know your name?
I just remember it.
You just remember it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, well, I'd like you to go for a walk with me. Would you? Follow me. We're going to go over to the baptismal font, where Pastor Mike was. So let's go for a walk. We'll walk over here very quickly. Come over here. And this, when you were very little and a baby in arms, you were named here. And this is where you became a family member, a sister to us, a brother to us, all of us here in these baptismal waters. And you were named here. And this is identifying you now. And it also tells us who we belong to. Who do we belong to?
God.
Yes, we do. And Jesus, yes. And so that is what, when I was reading there, the devil is tempting Jesus and saying, if you are the Son of God, and if you are the Son of God, three times he does it, if you are the Son of God, he's tempting him and trying to make him wonder about his identity. But Martin Luther said, when we are tempted, stamp your foot and you can say out loud, I am baptized. I am baptized. I am baptized, because that means that you are a son or a daughter of God. Because in these waters of baptism, Jesus and God claimed you as his own and said, I love you. Always remember that I love you. You are mine. So can you remember that? That in these waters, you became a son and daughter of God. God claimed you as his own. You are his. You belong to him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. No end of time. How about that? Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for these children and for the opportunity to pass on our faith to them. What a privilege it is. Strengthen them, be with them, keep them from all harm and danger, and watch over and protect them. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming up here and going for a walk with me. You can go back to your seats. So, this is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent begins, as it does every Lenten season, with temptation, with seduction, and betrayal. It could be a tagline to a movie, right? But when most of us think about temptation, we think about Genesis, the third chapter. So I invite you to think back to the story of Adam and Eve, where you'll recall that the serpent questions God's trustworthiness by suggesting that God hasn't told them everything. Essentially, the serpent plants mistrust, which opens the door for Adam and Eve to fulfill the want and need that is at the core, I think, of every single one of us, every human being. Not through their relationship with God, but by taking the fruit that's right there in front of them. It's the temptation to be self-sufficient, isn't it? To establish their identity as their own. And that's the bottom line of what leads those first human beings astray, that seduces them. If you are the Son of God, the tempter begins in Jesus' temptation. The tempter may as well have been saying, how do you know you're God's son? And there it is. That's the core of temptation. Wouldn't it be better for us to know for certain? Turn stone to bread. Worship me, and you will never doubt again. Jump from the temple. You will know. You will be sufficient on your own. That's what the tempter's saying to Jesus. For Adam and Eve and Jesus, the temptation is the same. And yet Jesus responds to the tempter by refusing to establish his own identity. He will not do it. Instead, he chooses to remain dependent on God. Jesus knows who he is and whose he is. Part of being human is being aware that we are insufficient. In other words, left to our own devices, we're not complete. Something's missing in us. And that seems to be integral to our humanness. Where temptation gets its power is by persuading us to believe that we will be more. We'll be more happy if we follow it. That's the power of all temptation, really. The prospect that it will make us happier. To be human, I think, is to realize that we carry inside of ourselves an emptiness, think of it as a hole within us, that seeks to be filled. Adam and Eve look at the fruit, and immediately they determine that their emptiness, that hole, is shaped just like that fruit. And yet, after they eat it, the emptiness is still there. We might think of that emptiness, that hole within us, is shaped like a new computer. A better house, the perfect spouse. Philosopher Blaise Pascal described this human condition as having a God-shaped hole within us. I like that. This is what Jesus demonstrated for us. In his unswerving trust of God. There's no filling the gap, no getting rid of that hole, except in and through our relationship with God. Augustine put it this way: we humans are always restless until we rest in God. To be Christian is not to have that hole, that need, that awareness of our limit erased once and for all. Rather, it is to accept that we are created for relationship with God and with others. Perhaps the goal of our faith isn't to escape our limitation, but instead to discover God in the midst of our needs, believing that God's grace is sufficient for us. I wonder if faith that doesn't do away with the hardships that seem to be the way of this life instead gives us the courage to stand up, to stand firm in the midst of them. And not just simply surviving either, but actually thriving in and through them because of Jesus, the one who was tempted as we are, the one who knows our struggles firsthand. As we begin this Lenten season, Jesus is inviting us to find hope and courage in God, who named not only him, but each and every one of us as well, his beloved daughters and sons, so that we also might discover who we are by recalling whose we are. May it be so of each and every one of us. Amen.